The story of the rich young man is one of the more familiar texts from the Gospel of St. Luke and even from the scriptures as a whole. It's very appropriate that we have it as our text as we begin the 171st academic year of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne. Familiar, but not at the same level, say, as a creation account or the resurrection of Jesus. In an increasingly biblically illiterate culture, this is a second or third level text in terms of familiarity. But bring this one up to Christian people, people with even a passing familiarity with the Bible, and they'll say, "Ah, yes, the rich young man. Thanks be to God, I'm not like him." The rich young man is you. Our seminary mission statement, you've begun to hear it, you first-year students, our new staff and faculty, is Concordia Theological Seminary exists to form servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. All of these are doing things. We, as a faculty and as a staff, are dedicated to forming servants. That's our purpose. And we are dedicated to forming servants who teach, reach, care. So in a way, it seems to me that the rich young man has asked the right question. What must I do? The problem is how he mixes it up. To inherit eternal life. What must I do? You all are asking this question right now, whether you're staff or faculty or students. Students preparing to be pastors, students preparing to be deaconesses, particularly you all, you are getting your syllabuses, your syllabi right now. And that's all about doing. What must I do to be saved or pass the class? It's a perfectly natural question. And that may be the problem, that it's all too natural to us. What must I do? Jesus confronts the man immediately, says, "Why do you call me good?" This is a hint. Professors do this. Listen carefully in class. They give you the answers for the test before they give you the test. Jesus is giving a hint to his student here, the rich young man, saying, "There is no one good, only God. Not you, pal." But given the opportunity, the man blows it and says, "What?" After Jesus describes what's involved, he says, "All of these things I have done." Jesus says, "You know, I know you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother." And the man says, "I know I do them." So Jesus must unmask the young man. "No one is good except God alone, rich young man. Are you God?" The opinio legis, if you don't know about it yet, you will soon. The opinion of the law is something so very natural to us all. What must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I accomplish in order to gain God's favor? What must I fulfill that I may be considered righteous? I've said it before, I'll say it again. That's one of the nice things about having a student body that moves through with regularity. There are two kinds of hypocrisy. The rich young man here is not the first kind, I don't think. the kind that we typically think of when we think of a hypocrite. You call somebody a hypocrite, you are saying to them, you are a liar. You are pretending to be something you are not. That's first sense hypocrisy. But particularly, some 400 years ago now, our English Puritan friends were worrying about hypocrisy to the extent that they discerned a second kind of hypocrisy that characterizes human beings. That is the person who fools themselves. And I think that is the rich young man. I have done all of these things from my youth. There is none good. The Lord already told you that. But you want to up the ante? You want to double down on your bet? One thing you still lack: sell all that you have and distribute it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me. And the young man went away very sad, because he was exceedingly rich. So he's gone, and the disciples remain, and they fall into a panic. What then must we do if this is the truth? No one can be saved. True. But Jesus helps them reframe the question. The original point was, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord Jesus begins to instruct that inheritance is not about something you earn for yourself. It is something that someone else earns for you and gives to you. Of course, the inheritance is the righteousness of Jesus, who is God, who has kept all of the commandments, who will pay the full price for human sin once and for all, so that these hearers who say, we can't do it, they will receive the gift freely out of grace. The rich young man can't hear this good word as it becomes evident to those who are there. He has disassociated himself. But the stunned disciples stand there in the midst of the Lord and say, what now shall we do? In their own way, we've left everything. We pulled up stakes. We moved to Fort Wayne. That has to be worth something. And do you see what the Lord says? He says, it is. It is. It's worth everything, not for your salvation, but that you might be blessed. Blessed in the instruction you will receive from your professors, the fellowship you will develop with one another, with the larger student body, the experiences you will have in your field work, the deep, deep community that characterizes this place, that has Christ at its center. The giver, the one who has won all for us. You first years begin a path, the end of which you cannot see at this point. I mentioned that to you last Friday as we were together. But the promise of the Lord, as he gave it to his disciples here, is the same promise that he lays before you this morning. Our Lord Christ says, it is not your actions in the classroom that will save you. You are saved by grace alone, not by grades alone. But as those who have left home and family and familiar settings to follow Christ, his promise to you is sure and certain. To all of us, the inheritance is yours, because he who was rich became poor, And he who had all things emptied himself, that you might be the children of God. We have left our homes and followed you, Lord, we say today. And his promise comes back to us firmly and surely. You will receive, that's gift, you will receive many times more in this time and in the age to come, eternal life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,